Hey guys, this is Life Talks with Scott, and this morning you're going to probably hear some birds chirping and everything outside because I'm in my new setup and I'm recording everything kind of here on my front porch with just a new recording device. And today, if you're listening, we're going to go in and do maybe today or maybe one more day of teachings about the apostolic and what is an apostle, because I really do feel it's important right now. If you watched the church service on Sunday, then you know, for me at least, the Lord's been speaking to me big time about foundations right now. He's been speaking to me about that for some time, and it's funny, the Lord's had me go back to very foundational things in my life and had me revisit it and say, well, you need to dwell on this, you know. On Sunday, you know, I kind of talked about some theologies that had come into the church, bad theologies, like trying to remove hell. And these are just things where the Lord's bringing me back. He's like, I want you to dwell on this again, and the reality of hell, or the conviction of sin and righteousness. You know, like I said, you know, there are foundations that have to be laid, but there's the continual coming back to shore up our foundations and making sure we actually are building on the foundations. And I love what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Well, I'll go up and read it a little higher. He goes, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, right? And so we understand that foundations are important, right? You know, and like Jesus said, you know, the fool is the one who doesn't dig down deep and build on the foundation, who doesn't lay his foundation on the rock, okay? And apostles are foundational. Apostles have the ability to come into areas and lay new foundations, like Paul, okay? Paul, and remember, primarily apostles are people who are sent to a specific area of influence, geographical, maybe not, maybe like we use the language, one of the seven mountains of influence. You know, an apostle could be sent to any of those things. Doesn't have to be geographical. And they go in with a mission to lay foundation, shore up foundation, shift foundations, okay? And so that's an important thing to understand as far as apostles go. They're foundational. And that's why I like how John describes it. When you have someone speaks with a apostolic anointing, there's just a heaviness that comes with the message, and it can shift you at a deep level, foundationally speaking, okay? It's almost like the apostles, when they speak, they can shift foundations, shore up foundations, move foundations, or there's people who are carrying an apostolic message as well. And so I think that's important to realize. Foundations are good, and we really probably need to kind of go back and always emphasize them. You know, sometimes we want to just keep building and building and building, but we need to make sure that what we're building on is truly foundational, and it's shored up. And I'm telling you, you know, I had a class not too long ago, maybe a year ago, probably one of my favorite classes I've taken so far, because it was literally just going back and reviewing foundational things about our faith. It was a systematic theology class, which most people would cringe at, but when I got to the part on the atonement and studying why Jesus had to die, or why, what was the purpose, what does it mean, I am telling you, something lit up in me, and I was moved in a way I have not been moved in a long time. And it's like, you know, this is foundational stuff. But, you know, sometimes we think, oh, we've matured past that. But the reality is, I love what Paul says to the church at Corinthians. He says, when I came to you, I professed to know nothing but Christ crucified. Right? And this is the church at Corinth that was having explosive expressions of the Holy Spirit. And Paul came there. This is the guy who's been studying the Torah his whole life. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He comes and says, the only thing I professed to know was Christ crucified. right? And that itself was enough, and that was a solid foundation to launch them into what we see in his letters, being an extremely charismatic, filled, and influenced church. Now, if I was going to ask you, who is the greatest apostle, you know, what would you say? Most Protestants would probably say Paul, while most, you know, Catholics would probably say Peter, because they claim apostolic succession. But the reality is Hebrews 3:1 says this, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly call, a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all of God's house." So we don't think of this, but Jesus was pretty much our high apostle, our chief apostle. He was the sent one, right? He was the sent one, not just one that was sent out by, not just one that was sent out like one of the 12, but Jesus was the sent one, sent from heaven. And, you know, we know that because it says, "So God for loved the world that he sent his son." He apostled his son, right? He sent Jesus as an apostle. Where? To earth. So what does that mean? That means his authority is all over earth, all over creation, okay? And so we need to understand that Jesus is primarily our apostle. And so a lot of times what we can do is we can, now here's the thing. Jesus was a teacher, right? Because they called him teacher. He was a pastor because he called himself a shepherd. I am the shepherd. Okay. He was a prophet because even in Luke, remember the two people on the road at the end of Luke on the road to Emmaus, they said, you know, he was a mighty prophet, powerful in word and deed. Okay. So he was a prophet. Okay. And he was an evangelist because, I mean, this dude went out and converted and saw people come in to receive, to the kingdom. And so what we need to understand as far as that goes is we can look at the life of Jesus and get an idea of what apostolic ministry should look like, okay? Because here's what I want to address. There are a lot of people today in ministry that call themselves apostles, but they're not really apostles. So why do they call themselves apostles? Because they oversee 10 churches or 20 churches. That's not really necessarily, that doesn't make you an apostle, okay? That is not what makes you an apostle, okay? Just honestly, what that makes you is it makes you the leader of a pyramid structure of churches, okay? That's the reality. I'm not saying none of those people are apostles, but I'm saying people are quick to say, I'm going to be over 10 churches, and I'm going to say I've had encounters where I've gone to heaven and all this stuff, and that's going to make me an apostle. That does not make you an apostle at all, okay? It doesn't make you an apostle at all. It just makes you someone who is been given that mission or given that calling or that anointing, okay? Just like Philip, who was an evangelist, right? He went out and he birthed churches. He went out and he did all that thing, but he didn't call himself an apostle, right? And so the reality is we need to understand that apostles don't just have a pyramid structure of churches under them. They're not like one leader of a church that has churches under them and churches on them and so on and so forth. In fact, I think when we get to heaven, we'll see a lot of these people who were just maybe even in third world countries in the middle of nowhere who were apostles because of what they did, you know, in terms of they came in, they laid foundations for the church in that area. They shored up foundations. They came in and taught the gospel, and they raised up the church. And so one aspect of Jesus's ministry that's a major aspect is the fact that he raised up leaders. Okay, he didn't just pasture his flock and take care of them. He raised up sons, he raised up daughters, he raised up leaders that could go forth in power and authority and continue the mission of Jesus. So here's one major aspect of an apostle. They are multi-generational. Apostles are multi-generational. That means they realize that they have a promise. They have something that they must fulfill, but they're not going to necessarily fulfill it in their life, but they're going to fulfill it through the working of their life, which means through their spiritual sons and daughters. Just like the book of Hebrews tells us that, you know, you have these great men and women of faith who did not inherit the promise they were given. Right? But here they are in the cloud of witnesses cheering us on because we are the ones who inherited the promise that they saw and they received from the Lord. Okay? I was watching a movie yesterday with my little girl Zoe, And I wasn't really paying attention. I was sitting doing some computer work and while this movie's playing. And well, in this movie, there's a cartoon movie called the Croods, whatever. And about these cavemen. Well, in the movie, they're running from like the this giant earthquake, I guess you can say. And at the very end of the movie, there's this giant gap between with the land that's about to be destroyed and then where they need to be. And the only way that his family can get over is for the dad to throw them over this gap to the other side, right? And I remember this part because as the son, as the dad takes the son to throw him over this gap, his son realizes, well, dad, you're not going to be able to come to this side. And the dad looks at the son and he tells him this. He goes, when you make it on that side, so will I. And for me, I mean, it really hit me. I'm watching this kid's movie and it really hit me. I mean, the presence of the Lord fell on me and I realized that is the heartbeat of an apostle. Heartbeat of an apostle is there's a lot of things that the Lord's promised me, right? But I have to understand that some of these promises might not be fulfilled until those that I raise up. Or that those that I raise up who raise up others. So my not just my spiritual sons and daughters, but my spiritual grandsons and granddaughters. But here's the reality. When they get there and they achieve it, so will I, right? So will I. Because they're part of my story. They're part of the work that I've been called. And we don't understand just the generational impact, right? And I believe an apostle needs to have that in mind because one of the major things about being an apostle, you are a father, right? You could be a father or mother, whatever. You know, I believe there are women apostles, but you are a father or a mother, okay? Which means you have to be multi-generational and have a generational mindset. That's just the reality of it. So that's something, I was listening to Dutch Sheets the other day, and he talked about the synergy of the ages. Sounded like a really new age thing, but, you know, synergy is, here's what synergy isn't. You know, for us, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. Well, with synergy, 1 + 1 + 1 = 10, right? And that's what happens when you come together with people in prayer. That's what happens when generations can come together. You get the synergy of the ages. That's what I think Dutch Sheets was really talking about. And apostolic people see that, right? You know, just as Paul's writing to Timothy in his letters to Timothy, you can see it's like a father who is encouraging his son to continue the mission that he started. And we have to understand that we might have dreams and promises from the Lord, but it might be our children or our spiritual children that actually walk that out. And we need to be okay with that because when they get there and they walk it out, so will we. Right? Like Paul, I think of Paul and his testimony that he has in heaven because you understand like his testimony is continually growing because he wrote so many letters that have helped and guided the church through the scripture and the writings of the New Testament. And so when I read from Paul and I learn from Paul and I go forth and I live my life and I do these things, I'm part of Paul's testimony. Right? And so when I am succeeding, so is Paul. And we have to realize that this isn't a me or you mentality. And I think apostles really, they really understand that. They don't look at different ministers and say, oh, well, that's your ministry, this is mine. They look at it and they say, this is about the kingdom, right? And whatever it takes to make sure that we're doing what the Lord wants and walking in the fullness of the kingdom, that's okay with me. So, that's all we have for today. We'll pick up tomorrow with or Thursday with probably the last teaching on it. And on Thursday, I'm going to go through and I'm going to really talk about more of, well, what do people say apostles are today? So, we laid a good biblical foundation. But like I said, the term in the Bible and the biblical definition of apostle is very ambiguous and it's a very broad term. And so what we want to know a lot of times as Christians is I want to know the exact definition of apostle. But the writers and the Lord makes it intentionally ambiguous. But again, the heartbeat of an apostle is someone who is sent, sent by the Lord and commissioned to a very specific location, area, or place of influence. So that's it for today, guys. I hope you have a blessed week, and we'll pick this up on Thursday.